Amen.
Thank you, Brother Greg. Appreciate that. If you would, turn with me to the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, in the 24th verse. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while we gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both now grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say unto the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles, and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. There are two parables that I have studied that the Lord actually explains. They came to him and asked him if he would give the definition or interpretation of the parable. This is one of them. The other one is like unto this. It's what we call the parable of the sower. Same thing. You have a lot of similarities in that you've got seed going into a ground and then the seed germinating and springing up into a plant. And I'm very thankful that they went to the Lord and asked for the interpretation, because I would have gotten both of them 100% wrong and would have stayed wrong for the rest of my life. I'm glad that he didn't interpret one and not interpret the other, because then I would have made them both out to be a lot the same thing, and they're very different in the application of it and how the Lord told us this is what they mean. Interestingly, in Matthew's account, we have the parable of the sower followed by the parable of the wheat and tares. And then they asked him about the wheat and the tares, and he gave the interpretation. In Luke's account, we don't have the parable of the tares, but the sower, and they asked about that one, and the Lord interpreted that parable in the gospel according to Luke. They look the same, they sound the same, they have a lot of the same thing, but they're very, very different in their interpretation. I'm going to focus more on the tares today, the parable of the tares, the wheat and the tares, but make some reference to the parable of the sower, because when they ask the Lord to give the interpretation, you need to pay very close attention. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer. The Lord is going to interpret this parable for us. So very close scrutiny must needs be given in what the Lord says and what that it means. But even then, I'm so thick-headed that I read the interpretation and I'm still a little bit lost. And I need the Lord to help me out with that. And usually it's a scripture in the interpretation that jumps out that says, that unlocks it for me. And the thing that unlocked the parable of the sower for me is the very first thing the Lord says about it. When he says that the seed is the word of God. That unlocked it, because I wanted to make the seed into the people. But the Lord says, no, the seed is the word of God, the ground is the people. Okay? And you've got four things, types of ground, and four things that happen on those four types of ground. And the encouragement is that we be what he calls the good ground and leave off the other three. In the parable of the wheat and tares, we are the seed. Not the ground. We are the seed. But there's two seeds. There's good seed and there's bad seed. The enemy sowed the bad seed. the Lord, the owner, sowed the good seed. The bad seed was sown while everybody was asleep. It was done unawares. It was done by the enemy. And up came a plant that we call in the Bible tares, T-A-R-E-S, tares. As I like to say, tares, T-A-R-E-S will tear, T-A-I-A-R you up. Tares will tear you up. That's kind of a clever way of saying it. But let's look at now the interpretation that the Lord gives us. In verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. All right? That's the Lord. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend in them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, how about that? Can I stop preaching? Can we go ahead and have lunch now? We just had the interpretation of it, right? You good? I wouldn't. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Now, the older I get, the more simple I try to interpret the Bible. I don't try to complicate it. You know, I wanted to when I was young. But then I got a little wisdom and realized, yeah, that's not doing any good at all. So what's the obvious thing? Well, it's elect, non-elect, children of God, not children of God. God planted the children of God. They came as children of God. They stayed children of God. They were children of God all the way into the harvest. The bad seed, the non-elect, if you want to call them the children of the devil, that's what the Lord called them, so we're safe with that. The non-elect, unregenerate, they stay that way till the end of the world, till the harvest. And then you had two destinies. One, they went to the Lord's house. The other went to the fire. That sounds a lot like final judgment, end of time. I think you can apply that. I think you should apply that. I think that ought to be your first interpretation of it. I mean, the main interpretation. Matter of fact, I'm kind of skittish about anything else because I know some like to make this a... If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're blessed. If you do know what I'm talking about, then you know what I'm talking about. Some people like to make this 70 AD. Preterists is what they're called. They, you know, when Israel was... Not they've already been conquered, but when Jerusalem was destroyed and all that kind of stuff, and they want to make it there. I used to play around with that. I don't play around with it anymore. I put it back where I found it, which is not the Bible. I put it back. If y'all believe that, that's fine. I mean, you can make that a case. I like to stick with the first one. The final one. And I'll tell you why. It proves the sovereignty of God. It proves final preservation of the saints. It proves eternal security. It proves salvation by grace entirely. Once you are made a child of God, you stay a child of God. Amen. Good seed does not become bad seed, and bad seed does not become good seed. All right, and the good seed cannot will itself or change itself, nor could the bad seed by its own free will become a good seed. You can compare it to the sheep and the goats, and you'd be doing well doing that, because you've got the same thing happen. There was a division, a separation, and a sheep on one, a goat the other. They have two different destinies. And we have said, as old Baptists, for years and years and years, a sheep stays a sheep, a goat stays a goat. They don't change out or whatever. You can pass. I was with a preacher one time, and we passed by a field of goats, and he said, "Look, Brother Dave, look at them disobedient sheep." And I laughed. I thought it was funny. Because a lot of folks that are universalists, or some that we call no-hellers, they that's what they think. That's what they say. These are just disobedient. Or it's talking about 70, 80. I mean, you can get so mixed up. Just stay with the simplicity of the Bible, the Scriptures, and you'll be fine. You'll start out on the right foot and end up on the right foot. And so, now, another thing is, the Lord knows the difference between the wheat and the tares. He told them, "Don't go out and don't pluck them up now. You may pluck up the wheat." So that's for the Lord to know. It's not for us to know. We're not to assign eternal destinies to folks. It's not our job. We're to preach the gospel, preach the word. Lord giveth the increase. Now, how does that affect us now? Does this parable, how does it help us here? Outside of good doctrine, and I'm not diminishing that at all. Good doctrine is good. Good to know. Bad doctrine, bad. This teaches good salvation by grace. And outside of that, the benefit that knowing that doctrine does, which the benefit is amazing and beyond description. But yet, should we be worried about it? Should we be worried about the tares? Because we sang a few songs that talks about, I pray, I'm a child of God. I hope I'm a child of God. I hope I'm found in Him at that final judgment. I hope I'm there, can sing praises to Him, looking forward to that. And that's our hope. And I have that hope. You have that hope. But should we, if we feel that way, should we be worried about the tares? Are they a problem? And I'm going to submit to you that they are a problem, and I'm going to submit that to you based upon a thing that the Lord said in the interpretation. And this is in verse 41. "The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom." Now look at it. Read it very carefully. Read this very carefully. He's going to gather out of His kingdom. That's a problem for us right now. We have to contend with the tares. Folks, we've got to contend with them. They're in the world. Some of them are in the kingdom. Don't know who they are. But he says he knows the difference. He's going to gather out of His kingdom all things, though these are the tares, all things that offend and do iniquity. Offend means you break down the word offend. It means a fence out of place. A fence not where it should be. In other words, it's a stumbling block. All right? It's a fence that doesn't, that causes harm. It causes you to stumble. The tares will cause God's people to stumble. And iniquity, they do iniquity. Iniquity means unequal, out of balance, out of kilter. Scripture says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Translation, iniquity. You can't be equally yoked with unbelievers. You hang around too many unbelievers all the time, you are going to be affected by it. Don't be with them, the scripture says. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Stay away from them. Don't think you can love them into the truth. Stay away from them. They'll bring you down. Iniquity. Read, there's a lot of Proverbs that I've noticed. And the thing, the Lord doesn't like a certain thing. And it's this certain thing is in the Proverbs. And it's called a false balance. You read that a lot. A false balance. Well, that's those people that are cheating or liars. Or these are people that are give too much attention to things they shouldn't give attention to at all. Or give little attention to things they should be giving all their attention to. That's unequal. That's a false balance. Or people that cheat. They're cheating you. They shave the coins. They put their finger on the scale. Those kind of folks. But it's more than that. You're unequal. You're in iniquity. You're in iniquity. You're a false. You yourself are a false balance. You're out of kilter. These affect us that way. Okay, let me ask you all this. I wish Brother Jeb was here. I want to ask you about seed, Brother Jeb. Tell me about that. Because we're talking about seeds here. These tares came from a seed. What are they? You ever wonder that? I've never heard that word except in the Bible. I used to think they were thorns or stickers, but they're not. They're called a darnel, D-A-R-N-E-L-L, darnel. They grow primarily in the Middle East. And they look exactly like wheat. So much so that in a case like this, you can't tell one from the other until harvest time. That's why he said we got to wait till harvest. That's the only time you can tell a difference between a wheat and a tare, because of the fruit that they bear. What's the fruit of wheat? It's the grain. A tare or a darnel will also produce grain, but it appears differently than the grain of wheat. It's counterfeit wheat. Not only that, why was it so important that they be separated in harvest? What I have read and studied about the darnel is that if you eat it, it makes you sick. As a matter of fact, the Arabian word for tare or darnel is the root word of our English word nausea. They make you nauseated, sick to your stomach. They take away your appetite. Eat enough of it. They settle, the poison that comes from it will settle in your joints and cause inflammation. You study out health, inflammation causes a lot of problems, of health problems. The darnel does that even to the point that people have been made paralyzed because of it. They can't walk. You eat enough of this, you can't walk anymore. You're sick, You're paralyzed. Keep going. Keep beating it. You die. He'll kill you. It's a slow poison that settles and stays and works its ill among your tissues, your organs. You get sick, get paralyzed, and you die. Get out the world much, folks. Hang around the tares of this world. It'll make you sick. You'll get nauseated. It is sickening. But you hang out with it enough, it affects your sensibilities. You become desensitized to it. It becomes not as nauseating to you as before. Congratulations, you are now paralyzed. You can't walk. You can't walk the walk that we're taught to in the Scriptures. You can't walk by faith. You can't walk anymore. You're paralyzed. You're stopped dead in tracks. It impedes your spiritual progress. And you don't even know it because it's slow. That's what the tares are doing. And eventually, you can die spiritually in this world. You can forget that you were purged from your old sins. You can lose the joy of your salvation. Doesn't mean like it used to. It's gone. You don't feel like you do in the house of God. You don't even want to go into the house of God. Like the prodigal son, you spend your days in riotous living. Made him sick. Made him broke. Broke his spirit. I've seen it in members of my family. I think they've gone out amongst the tares. And I think they consumed the tares. I've seen how it slowly acts upon them. That's why I go back to the main interpretation of this. Yes, we are affected by the tares, but we're still the good seed. That's good. I mean, if it weren't for that, that's pretty depressing. I'd be worried, is there any good seed left? But God's sovereign grace and his final preservation and his eternal justification means that those whom he foreknew in the beginning of time, the same number will be glorified in the end of time. But the Apostle Paul, when he's talking to the Corinthians, and how he noted how they had taken the communion service, the Last Supper, and had turned it into a drunken feast, into a satisfying of carnal lust. And he says, for this reason, many of you are, what does he say, sickly? Yeah. You're out there amongst the tares. If we're saying to ourselves, where's the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Let's find out why. You need to find out why. Before you blame anybody else, you go to the Lord. Lord, is it I? What have I done? What am I consuming? Am I out there amongst the tares? We've got to be very careful about this, my beloved friends. Because there's counterfeit out there. There's counterfeit preachers. There's counterfeit doctrine. There's counterfeit churches. I've even seen this. There's counterfeit alternatives to church. It's like, what? Say that again? I will be glad to, because it don't make any sense. Makes sense to me. I have seen in the world, and I have seen people doing this in assemblies. Now, I'm not talking about churches. I'm talking about, oh, I've seen it like in rock concerts. Not that I've been watching them on TV. You shouldn't be doing that, Dave. Okay. They're moving right along. Watching documentaries. I love documentaries. I learned out you got to be very careful about documentaries, too. Don't get me started. But anyway, I was watching this documentary about Woodstock, and I saw this backstage stuff going on, and I'm like, they're acting, it's almost like an association. You've got a preaching committee, you've got a finance committee, you've got the preachers there, they're told them you're on next, they all, man, you know, shake their hand, they get out there, they do the thing, people are cheering, you got amens, they come back, everybody hugs them. I'm like, that's just like an association, but it's corrupt. That's a counterfeit. They said, oh, I'm getting so much out of it. Counterfeit. You're eating the tares. Nothing but the truth will set you free, is what we sang today. Nothing but the truth. Anything added to the truth is not the truth. And a half-truth is a whole lie. It's not even a half lie, it's a whole lie. Truth will set you free. The truth will set you at liberty. A lie, a counterfeit truth, will make you sick, make you paralyzed, and could even destroy the joy of your salvation. I turn over into... see if I can find it here real quick in the book of Jeremiah. And that's way... oh, here I am. All right. Jeremiah, I think, chapter 14 and 14. And it's going to take until lunchtime to get there. Here we are. Jeremiah 14 and 14. He said, well, let's read verse 13. Then said I, oh, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this time. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision, and a divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Counterfeit. Tares. Lies. 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 Friends, we're surrounded by lies. We're in a sea of lies. There's iniquity all around us. Where can you get the truth? Only in the house of the Lord. This is your home. This is where you belong. This is where you get the proper spiritual food that your soul craves. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And I get tired of the world, and I get tired of it. I've got to come back, be reminded that I'm in the field of the Lord. And that what he does is good. They prophesy lies in my name. There's lies in the name of God out there. There's people saying we're doing good, and they're really doing harm. It gets to the point, I think, where is that in Malachi, where he says, now we call evil good and good evil. Oh, I see that all over the place. I see that in the news. I see that. I hear that among people that ought to know better. And we're supposed to be so much more sophisticated and knowledgeable. You move away from the word of the Lord, you've moved, you've gone south. You're going down. Counterfeit lies, counterfeit doctrine, counterfeit preachers, false prophets. You hear that all. You hear that. False prophets, false balance, false doctrine, false churches. in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Let me read this to you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, I heard somebody say, well, I'm just really a sheep in wolves' clothing. I said, oh, get out of here. Get lost. It was a Primitive Baptist preacher that said that to me. I'm just a sheep in wolves' clothing. Well, change your clothes, brother. In the meantime, I don't ever want to see you again. Troublemaker. You're a homewrecker. You're wrecking the home of God. Get out of here. We need to be sheep in sheep's clothing. I mean, that is so simple. I mean, you've got to really be totally, you've got to lost your mind. But false prophets, I don't care what their title says. I don't care. You know, they're going to work with you and try to make you feel better. And there's an article. I need to find it. There's an article that was published. I forget what church paper it was. In the 1880s. One of the best articles I've ever read is written by Elder Arnold. I think it's W.T. Arnold up there around Indiana. And the name of the title was this. How to Preach Heresy. Got your attention? Y'all want to know how to preach heresy? He's going to tell you how to do it. And I read this article, and I'll go like, oh my goodness, I've seen people do that. And they were preaching heresy. And I need to read it again because I don't remember. He had about like 12 points, and I can only remember like two or three. One thing, I've seen this done in churches. He says, when somebody is up there preaching the absolute truth out of the Bible, amen them louder than anybody else in the amen corner. I've seen that done. They don't believe what that brother's saying, but they're amening out loud. Another thing they said, if you preach what you really believe, if you let it slip in what you really believe in a sermon, and they come to you and they say, we don't agree with that, tell them that they misunderstood you. Tell them that they didn't really understand what you said. Seen that a lot. Then I remember the last point. Sow your seeds of discord in their homes. When you go to their home, you're spending the night with them, that's when you get them by the fireplace and you just kind of talk to them and you spread your poison. That's how you preach heresy. What's the antidote, y'all? Study, study, study. Y'all study. Members study. You're going to let your preacher do all your studying for you. You are shortchanging yourself. Sorry, I'm not that good. Y'all need to study. Study, 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 study. I could say something wrong. And I need to, y'all come to me and say, Brother Dave, Brother Sonny's done this. I was still wet from the dew of the pulpit. He said, Brother David, I go, oh. And I love him for it. Beware of false prophets. Now, I want to be very clear with y'all about something real quick. I am not talking about the Methodists, the Episcopalians, the Roman Catholics, the Lutherans. I'm talking about Primitive Baptists. I'm not throwing off on anybody else except the Primitive Baptist. You think I'm picking on you? I'm not. I'm picking on me because I am susceptible and I do not want to lose the joy of my salvation and I want to remain strong in the faith till the day that I die. And so that my reputation would not tarnish the house of the Lord. And that it would bless others. All right. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. All right, you're either a wheat or a tare. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Well, that sounds like the parable of the tares. Okay. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. That must be important because he said it twice. What did he say? You got to wait till the harvest. Then you can tell the difference. By their fruits you shall know them. You'll know the false prophets. You'll know the difference. You'll know what it means. So it's important. Finally, let me go to Acts chapter 13 and verse 6. Acts chapter 13 and verse 6. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus. All right, all of a sudden, okay, we are not supposed to like this man. Okay? Don't like him. Don't feel sorry for him. Don't try to interpret him. Don't say, well, you know, he had a tough childhood, you know, blah, 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 blah. Who didn't? My childhood was a lot harder than y'all's. And look how I turned out, moving right along. All right. A false prophet whose name was Bar Jesus. That means the son of Jesus. How about that? How about that? They're coming in the name of Jesus, some of these folks. What did he do? He said, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. All right, so here's a good man who's being affected by a tare. But he hears the wheat. He hears the truth. And so he says, y'all come, I want to hear the word of God. Then Elymas, the sorcerer, that means wise, that's the same feller, the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. That's what they do. They don't like the truth. They do not want you to be free. They want you in bondage to them. The devil wants you in bondage to him. The devil will feed you things that will make you sick. Friends, the world is going to make you sick. Stay in the house of God. Don't leave this good place. Don't leave the place that's healthy, that will help you all your life. You can't make it. It's too hard. You can't do it. You can't. It's too hard. It's too rocky. There's too many pitfalls. You will fall if you leave this place. I'm not talking eternal punishment. But you will fall in this life. None of us are that strong. None of us. None of us. You're not. I'm not. Never. Y'all never be that strong. I need what we've got right here. I need it desperately. And it does not matter. It should not concern me how few we are, or what the world says, or all this that's going on, and all the information that's out there. And I want to say this to every one of us, especially to me. Whatever information you're listening to, pay more attention to this. Because that stuff can make you sick too. You better be careful. Because listen, you could be listening to something. He's talking to me, speaking to me. No, I'm not picking on you. If you think I'm picking on you, then maybe you need picking on. Okay? What's the matter? You're worried about something? I'm picking on me. But you could be listening to something. They may have a lot of truth to it. But there's a hook. or there's something off, there's something a little wrong, that's a darnel, that's a tear, be careful. How do we know? By your fruits you shall know them. If the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, you ever hear something and you said, that doesn't sound right? I really can't put my finger on it. It just doesn't sound right. Well, you know, what kind of trumpet does not make a sound of a trumpet? None. Right. That's a trick question. If they trumpet, basically what they're saying, the trumpet is making a sound that doesn't sound like a trumpet. Well, why is that? Because it's not a trumpet. You can call it whatever you want. Does it sound a little off? Sounds a little fuzzy? Doesn't strike home? Listen, folks, I've heard sermons on scriptures I've never read in my life. I've had brethren get up there and give me applications on things I've never seen before, and yet in my mind go like, that's it, that's right. My soul is saying, amen, amen. My heart, it knew it. Your soul is smarter than your brain. Listen to your soul. So the trumpet makes an uncertain sound. By the fruits ye shall know them. Brethren, could talk about this forever. There are certain things that I've seen that bother me that I don't ever want to do, and I will warn you about it as well. One of the things that I've seen, and I'm going to get off this. I got 2 minutes. When I see somebody, and again, I'm just talking about Old Baptist. When I see folks stop wanting to be around Primitive Baptists or only want to be around the same group of people all the time, or I see preachers, they always bring their congregations with them, and they only hang around their congregations, something's wrong about that. Because the sheep wants to be with the sheep, and the truth craves the truth. And when you hear that certain sound, you don't want to hear anything else but that sound. And the more of the Lord's people we have in our life, the better off that we are, the stronger we are. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. And so we're stronger when we're together. And so we should desire to be with each other. And when we get together, we want to speak the same things to each other, because if it's something is the truth, then it's always going to be the truth. And you hear it all your life, it shouldn't be a problem to hear the truth. We should not ever want to hear anything different. And I know what I'm talking about, because I do know that there are folks out there that want to change the church. I used to be one of them. And I'm telling you, I've been in secret meetings, and I know what goes on. And I'm telling you something, I wish I'd never mixed myself up with those people. And now, I'm sorry, some of y'all sing some songs, y'all like, oh, that's what we sang back when I was in the Liberals. I don't like that song. Oh. I'm that way. Can we just sing Grace is a Charming Sound? At any rate, I'm very, very persnickety about how to do things as a Primitive Baptist, because I've seen what happens when we leave off the old paths and we go astray and we want something new, something fresh. And I'm like, the thing is, though, what they're calling fresh is the most stale thing you ever get in your life. And this thing here is always wonderful and always perfect, always wonderful. At any rate, let me finish this. I'm going to say one more thing. I'm meddling. When a preacher admits he's meddling, that's when I think, well, that's the best part of the sermon. One thing I appreciate about Brother Sonny, and Brother Sonny, I've tried to, you're my pastor, so I follow after you. I still like to make fun of you, but I still follow after you. No, I do. I give him a hard time all over the place. He gives me a verse. One thing I appreciate about Brother Sonny. Brother Sonny is content to sit there and listen to preaching. It doesn't have to be him all the time. And, you know, y'all's meeting, you get good preachers to come preach to you. I think that's vital, important. Y'all are blessed that you have a pastor like that. There's no ego involved in that. I've seen big ego ministers. They do not want anybody better in their mind than they to preach to their churches, because that's my church. That's my congregation. Well, I'll go Philip Conley all over you on that one. No, it's the Lord's church. It's the only time I will do a Philip Conley. The rest of the time, I'm like, get away from me, Phil. Get away. You bother me. Go away. Run along, son. Anyway. So, Paul got upset. Elymas, Bar Jesus, didn't want them to come preach to him. Look what. Y'all think I get rough? Listen to what Paul said. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Well, man, he got tough. Listen to this. Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And so, my friends, I'm like Brother Sonny. I just, y'all come up here, y'all preach up. Y'all preach good sermons. Preach the truth. Be instant in season and out of season. I don't want to hear nothing else but the truth. I don't want to hear anything different. I want to sing the old songs. I want to talk about the scriptures. I want to be together. I want a hard shell. I want a fellowship. I want to feel the Spirit of God. I want to leave this place saying, I have walked with God today, and I've walked with God's people today. I'm a wheat. I'm a child of God. God made me thus. I didn't become a wheat because I decided that. God planted me like that. God's preservation keeps me like that, and God's righteousness will receive me in the home and the glory when I will see him as he is. And that's a glorious day that's awaiting for all of us. And I don't want anything to get in my vision of that great day. And I don't want anything to get in the way of me serving the Lord acceptably with godly fear, in spirit, and in truth. And I don't want no more tares, no more Darnell, no more, I heard. All right, I'll end it with this. No, I can't do that. Well, I'm going to have it already. Scott and Michelle were getting a little ooey-gooey this morning. I was like, ugh. I was like, man, I need some Rolaids. And they thought I was real sick. They thought that breakfast disagreed with him. She said, well, I got some Tums. I said, no, I need some ooey-gooey Rolaid Tums. Y'all are sick. Stop it. It's too early in the morning for that kind of business. And that's funny. That came out funnier than I thought it would. that was awfully funny. That's going to become an arsenal. Y'all are now become a thing. And so, my beloved friends, false doctrine is ooey gooey. Ooh, makes you sick, right? Yeah, you know, too much of that. I need some spiritual tongues. I need some Rolaids. Right here it is. Right here. Word of God. Word of God. Word of God. You've got too much of the Darnell. Too many tares. Get them out. Stay away from them. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you. Thank y'all very much. Bethel Church has been a great friend to me and a great blessing all my life. I love y'all very much. Anything I can do for you, you let me know. We will have a song. We'll have a dismissal time. You want to come and take care of a business, of joining the church, what are you waiting on? We're right here to help you out.
125.
125 sounds like the house of the Lord. All right.